crouch, bind, set.
Joe presents the House of Rugby, together with Guinness.
Hello and welcome to a new edition of House of Rugby, brought to you by Joe, together with our very good friends at Guinness. And it is a great pleasure to have on the show this week the man known as the Beast.
Thank you very much.
What this man in the middle would have done for a moniker like that. Adebayo, I confirm, we're lovely to have you on board. What I'm enjoying about you two have been natting away unbelievably before we started recording today, but it's like a sort of coming together of brethren, of football and rugby together. I think we've got more tonnage of bicep at this table than any show
I told you
ever
not
put
any
together
idea
before.
What saying.
Yeah,
do you want to get Dean with the translator?
Yeah, we are three peas in a pod.
He speaks
as we set sail.
He
lost him at Monica. What
House
he means is fucking
rugby.
Unbelievable nickname known as the Beast. I would have loved that. My nicknames can't pronounce on here. They were never nice.
Yeah.
I tell you what, in Stade Francais, they called me La Machine for a little bit.
That must mean the machine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, yeah.
Which, you speak fluent French. I love that.
Multilingual, baby.
Premier. And away we go. It's very, very nice to have you on here.
Oh,
I mean, you two have had, we've pretty much done a show in rehearsals.
Yeah.
I
don't know if they recorded any of it, though.
They should have.
Some dumb stuff. We'll try and pull some of it back into.
Yeah.
What I'd love to start with on this show, though, is given you are two alpha males, two absolute kings of your tribes, how did you come to meet?
Let me take this, yeah? We're going back, 3 weeks now?
Yeah.
3 weeks ago, I get a phone call. My manager says, listen, they want you to come down and do this something for Veet. So I'm like, all right, cool. And then they was like, yeah.
Veet, which is a...
Hair removal product.
Hair removal product, just for those who don't know.
Yeah, for those who don't know, it's a hair removal product. To be fair, I don't think I'm very not hairy. This dude's hairy. I don't know what he got at me, but anyway, it is what it is. So they was like, look, I want you to come down. So they was like, yeah, boom. James Haskell's going to be like the presenter. So I was like, brother, I know the name. So that's what it was. I remember going to my brother, I was like, I know the name. But all right, cool. So I walk in, and it's funny. So he's sitting down getting his makeup done, as you do. So he was sitting down, and it was like, so it's the first time I've met him. Like, so I was like, yeah, what's going on? He said, hi, rah, rah, like that. And he stood up. Let me tell you something. Hey, he stood up. He like, what, 6'5", what are you?
6'4".
I started trying to make it look high. I'm taller than
what. Oh, sorry, I should have rolled with it. Yeah, 6'9", yeah, bro.
6'4", with shoulders like me. I was like, yo, this brother's a big brother. And from there, look, I ain't going to say, we're like best friends now,
we are best of friends,
like,
ever.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, we hit up on WhatsApp and that, you know what I'm saying? He got at me the other day, said, some guy in the bed, sweet dreams. I was like, oh, my brother, you know. So, but no, that's what it was. We met. I think the producer on the show was like, all right, it's good, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you two seem like, you know, you've known each other for a while. It's like, well, we've only met each other 10 minutes. His energy, listen, I'm not bigging him up, but James' energy is second to none. So he's my boy now.
I love that.
It was good. It was just, you know, one of those things where you kind of, I'd obviously knew all about him. I always admire people who have kind of transcended their sports through like character and identity. And, you know, I'd seen the Beast doing all this kind of stuff. And you know, we sort of walked in. And I'm always one of those quite tentative because I'm, you know, I think I'm an acquired taste sometimes, you know, and we just got on like that. And I just think he brought his brother with him, Daddy, who's bigger.
Who's got the bigger inches around the... I love the
way
I'm doing that. Just showing the pipes.
Lenchman, listen, like Lenchman, anybody that knows me knows my brother. Like we, there's three of us, so they know we always roll. We look like wrestlers whenever the three of us together. So anybody that knows me knows, especially Lenchman is always with me. And it's funny, I keep telling people, when he wears fitted clothes, you don't realise how big he is. So like they'll be like, oh yeah, you're the smaller brother, and it gets on his nerves. So every time he comes back the next time, he'll wear something, and he's like a transformer. He just goes, kruh, 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 kruh. And his arms, you see my brother's biceps, it's no joke. So dinner time at Akinfenwa household growing up was very interesting.
La protein.
But when I saw him, I met him and he was like wearing a jacket. I thought, oh, both big units. Right, but the Beast is a beast. Right. And then he messaged me and he's like, he's on Instagram, it's Lenchman D. Right. And his profile picture is just absolute unit with his rig out. And I thought, oh God, who's this dude messaging me now? Like, what have I done? I haven't done anything. And I realised it was brother. So that was okay. And he's coming today.
Yeah.
And honestly, I looked out the car and I saw him. And I was like, fucking hell. Because he's wearing a jacket. Like, he's taking it off, mate. His arms. They make mine look like little spaghetti, like little water pistols. Yeah. He's got 250 cows.
We don't
want
to say what it does to your arms.
Yeah, I mean, yours.
I know the feeling.
Angel hair pasta arms you've got in comparison.
Delicious and nutritious, some might say.
Delicious. Honestly, he's massive.
It's very nice to have you. I love. There's a developing bromance, and that is what this show is all about. Have you got just? I mean, we don't talk about a lot of rugby. Have you got any interest in rugby? We're not going to talk about a lot of rugby, but do you have a respect for the game and the characters?
I respect the game. I respect the game. I've said this story a little while ago. When I was at Swansea, we used to train at the same gym as the Ospreys.
Yeah.
So I was doing a gym session, and as I do. So I was doing a gym session.
What, don't tell me chest and guns.
To be fair, I don't look at my legs as well, but you can't really see it. But yeah, so actually, to be fair, it was arms, actually, I was doing.
No doubt.
And Ospreys were doing a workout over there. And of course, you know, the football boys be like, "Go on, big man, like, oh, show him that you can like lift it." And I remember I looked at one of the rugby's, one of the smaller boys, can't remember his name, but he was doing dumbbells with like a 12 or 15, and I was doing it with a 20, and I was thinking, "Oh, I'll be able to dump on you, man. You, man, all this talk about you, man, are strong." And so then I kind of move over just to let him know that I'm doing a 20.
Presence,
you know what I'm
presence,
saying?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, you know, B's here, you know what I'm saying? And then he looked over and he was like, "All right, what, you want to do a session together?" I was like, yeah, like, no problem. And he goes, "What are you doing?" I goes, "I'm doing arms." He goes, "I'm doing arms as well." So I'm lifting my 20s, innit? And he's like, so I goes, "What, you're doing a rip? You know, you doing a rip?" He was like, "No, I'm doing a bolt, but I'm doing 15s. I goes, "Oh, okay. So I'm doing 20s. And he was like, "Well, let me just say, you're not actually doing a bicep curl like with your 20s. I was like, "What do you mean?" He goes, "Well, look, you're using your back." And I was like, "What?" He was like, "Listen, look, I'll show you. Try and do it properly with this 20. So I tried to do it the way he did it, which was proper. I know it now. And I couldn't get it anywhere near. So I tried to do it with the 15 he was doing it. Same. I couldn't get anywhere near lifting it. So it was funny that I found when you learn technique. It was the first time I was thinking, "Oh, you know what? You boys are pretty strong. So I'll give it to you." But I know it now. And I to be fair, I curl 28 now, let's have a conversation now but no, that was it. So I do respect
tell them the quote you said about earlier where you said I was talking about footballers coming in, so we used to train with QPR at the Wasps ground. Twyford. And boys would come in, Louis V bag, you know, little Louis V Wasps bag.
Let me just put this out here. Not every footballer has a Louis V bag. I don't have one.
You've got a Beast Mode one.
Yeah, but I just, I have a Beast Mode one. You know, but
or a couple of plastic bags from Happy Shop and stuff.
Right, they were the good old days.
Little.
Right, so they would come in, right, around about 10 o'clock, bowl in, right, go out, bit of football tennis, few headers, a bit of warm up, and they'll be done by 11:30, right? And we'd be on session three. So he was telling me when he used to see Northampton do the same thing. I mean, but you can tell the story. You used to come in and see the boys doing it.
So this is it. So when I was at Northampton, they used to come over and train. The Northampton Saints used to come over and train. And I remember beforehand, they was just saying about, you know, that rugby players train 5 times a day. So they'll like have 2 sessions, like before 10, and then a session before lunch, and then 2 afterwards. I was like, "What? What madness is that?" And like, I'd never just heard it. I just literally thought that they were just trying to big them up. And it was funny because we got to, so we normally used to start at 10. So I used to get in at 9, as I do. So I'm good professional.
Yeah.
So, but I did actually used to get in at 9 o'clock, and they was there like on the track. And so they got in at 7 o'clock. So they'd have done 2 sessions before we even got in at 10 o'clock. And then we trained, and listen, we trained hard. So we trained to 12, have lunch, go again 1:30 to 3. So don't listen to him about we only kicked it and done by 11:30. We trained hard as well. But I do give props. That's what I'm saying. It's the same with what James was saying about, I respect highly like the effort that the rugby players put into it. Look, I'm a physical specimen.
I love the flex that comes in the middle of that.
There's a little tight chest that comes in.
Lean into the camera.
No, I truly respect what you have to put in, you know what I'm saying, into their sport. So, no, I respect them, but I just wouldn't ever do
he
that.
He said we get paid less, and we'd get smashed paid up less a lot and do more.
Yeah.
And they said they get paid more and do
because
less.
Because our job is a bit technically harder. I'm just frying that out.
I've seen you play football. What do you mean? Honestly.
He's ripping. It's okay, school. It's 1-0 James.
These two brothers, right? I confirm my brothers. They ain't doing any cardio. Yeah. Right? That's why, honestly.
What? No, if
mate,
you
I've
follow
seen
me,
you, I've seen you,
you
in the middle
I
of the field like this. No, I've seen you.
Oh,
in the, yeah,
yeah,
of course. Yeah. You're slow fat, but I've
yeah,
seen you like
yeah,
that.
You know that.
Just fucking dominating things. Just, you're like one of them things on a rail.
Let me tell you what you do, yeah? You have to learn what you are good at and be the best at what you're good at. So I stay in the width of the goals, because that's where the goals are scored. And then I'll be the best.
And how many goals
have
you scored? 200 and something?
Yeah, 200 and something, baby. 200 and something. Thank you, baby. No applause. Thank you, 200 and something.
Take the top three. Top three goals.
Oh, I get AFC Wimbledon against Liverpool, just because of the significance, because I'm a Liverpool supporter, and it was just amazing to score against them.
Yeah.
The penalty at Wembley.
Yeah.
To get promoted, and...
I remember that one.
I'd say, to be fair, for the sheer class and technical ability of it, AFC's volley against Exeter at Exeter. Check it out on YouTube. Bam! They're the top three.
Did you score three tries?
No, I didn't actually. I think, you know what?
Stade Francais, we've put that up before.
We have, little actually. Chip and chase. Yeah, there was some bits, but I just didn't
the
score.
The non-try in the European Cup final is the one that we
talked about. Talk to me, because I didn't really see it, so you've got
so
to talk to me.
So, obviously, anybody who... If you ask any of the fans or any people, any of my teammates, I apparently had zero skill. Right, I don't believe it.
He is remembered most famously for running into a post pad instead of scoring. Yeah,
I can believe
that.
But the weird thing is, so the post pad story was bizarre. I got a little beautiful little ball off Ben Young, and I was running right, and I looked up, and there was Cuthbert, who's a guy who plays for Wales, and there was Lee Halfpenny. Cuthbert's a big unit, right? Yeah. And I saw them, and I thought, I'll run into Halfpenny, because there wasn't a lot of space. So I ran into Halfpenny, hit, and I spanned. But I spanned straight into the post. I didn't see it, and the post covers. And everyone's like, ha, you wanker. I almost broke my neck. Right, I ran into it, compressed myself. I was like, hurr! Right, and then I lay down, and put the ball back, got it back. And obviously, I'll be mugged off. You know what I mean? Like, now in the world of social media,
yeah.
I get people messaging me all the time, going, ha, did you see this? I was like, yeah, I did, you dickhead. It's me running into the fucking post. And so that was...
Did you get a try?
Nah. We did later on.
You did win the game.
You won the game.
That's the consolation prize.
It turned out that post was Wales' best defender of the day.
He said that.
Yeah.
Strong.
And then we asked for the tries. And then when I played for Stade Francais, because this thing got no skill, I can't. If you ever seen me kick a football, mate, that's, you know, everyone, most people you know have had trials.
Yeah.
Right? But not even close to playing football. Like, I'm the worst footballer. Yeah. Ever.
I believe it. I like the emphasis because I get
you
it.
You can see it, can
I
you?
See the way you walk, so let alone walk. You know,
that's a ball. I put that on for you. I thought,
one trouser leg rolled up.
He told me that he doesn't strike, he's got one leg shorter than the other.
Is that what it is?
It is. I've got one leg shorter, so everybody thinks that my swag is on point because my right leg's shorter than my left leg.
Well, I've got a prescription for these trainers, so I actually need them. So against Stade Francais, I got the ball and I was running. I thought, I'm going to kick it, I'm going to chip it over the top. And I chipped it, and I ran round, and it bounced up, and I scored. And everyone says,
"So I take it a chip and catch. That's a technical. That's,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
something proper.
You ain't seen some of my skill set.
Stop
doing that.
Clock is right twice a day.
Yeah.
You were, you were very much a cult hero in football and beyond that as well. But what does it say on your business card? How do you describe yourself these days?
Oh,
how many business cards have you got?
Quite a few, to be fair. But it's hard. No one's really actually asked me that question in the sense of how do I describe myself. I describe myself as me. It's crazy because I'd always say I never set out to be different. You know, I didn't, 20 years ago, I didn't set out and be like, you know what, you're going to be the strongest and heaviest footballer in the world. And you know, I literally was just, I'm going to be me. I'm going to play football. And every facet of my life has taken different paths. And I believe that sometimes, you know, we joke about it, it is generally not, well, in this case, I'm the strongest, but it's not always the strongest or the quickest or the most skillfulest that excels the most. It's the one that knows how to adapt in life.
Yeah.
And I think in life, that's the process where I've got things have come my way, some good, some bad, and I've just adapted with my journey, I should say.
When you started out, did you feel in the middle of the pack and you've worked your way to the sort of the periphery, as it were, and that you are the biggest and strongest? Or have you always felt you've been slightly on the outside rails and have made the most of it to get...
No,
to
be fair, I believe that there's a perception in life anyway, and I was always bigger, bigger than most people, you know what I'm saying? Always stronger than most people. But it's funny, it's my, like I said, when I said you have to adapt, 12, 13 years ago, I broke my leg. So I wasn't as big as what I am now, like 13 years ago. You know, when I came into the game, I was slighter, I was quicker, and then I broke my leg and then had to adapt. I'd lost a bit of pace. Some people who see me now can't ever believe that I could run. I was actually quick back in the day. So I had to change my game. I had to adapt.
Problem is, you're so old, the evidence of you playing back in the day would have been...
You're not that much younger than me.
Yeah. What he's saying is, you know, he said you lost pace. The only chance anyone's seeing that is on VHS and no one's got fucking tape played away. So I believe you were fast. He was definitely fast.
I'm saying it was tape. There is couple. It doesn't even go back. YouTube don't even go back to me playing them days. But no. But so with me, it was. I wouldn't say that I was on the outside looking in. I weren't. You know, I could play there as growing up. You know, you could shoot, could jump, could run. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It was just, of course, as I still think there's a perception of, and that's not just in football. I think in life, you know, for people's brains to work, it's, oh, no, you need to be this path. And I felt like I was different from the mold. But then when I broke my leg, of course, I got bigger. I went to the gym a bit more. So I came back and then knew I wasn't as quick. So I had to adapt my game. So that's where it is. So in the last 8 years was where... It was like, all right, look, I had to put my thinking cap on and then see the change, social media, and be like, all right, cool. B, what are you going to try and do now to maximise what you've got? And that's where I am now. Yeah.
It's really interesting just saying about, you know, whether he's kind of felt being typecast as being a big guy. We kind of talked about on the other thing we did just about what that was like and whether he tried, you know, did you try to fight against that for a bit and go, actually, you know what, I'm not just big, you tell me really.
Massively, like, I remember it used to gripe me so much that if I'd score two goals or I'd done a touch, it would be like, oh, and the big man got onto that. Oh, good touch for the big man. I couldn't get away from them referencing my size. And I was like, small or big, but it was a good touch. Like, why are you putting that? It's a good touch for a big man. It was just a good touch. And it used to just gripe me that, you know, they'd be like, oh, you know what? Maybe he could do a bit more if he was a bit smaller, or, you know, and it was constantly focused about my size. And it didn't matter what my stats were, because my stats sit as good as most strikers that's been around for 20 years. You know what I'm saying? So, and it used to gripe me. I used to be like, oh, it used to get me like, oh my days, they're talking about my size. And look, I just scored two goals. Like, concentrate on the goals I've scored. Concentrate, I've scored 16 goals this season. Yeah. Like, and it did, until a point where it was like, look, there's sometimes you just can't convince people otherwise. They are going to see what they're going to see. And it got to a point where I was like, you know what? I am the biggest footballer in the world.
Yeah.
You know what? I am the strong. Listen, if you want to say I got a good touch for a big man, I'm with you. I got a good touch for a big man. And then it was literally when I embraced who I was.
Yeah.
When I embraced who I was and was like, look, I am me. It literally was. And it literally was the best thing I could have done, because it took out all that energy that I was focusing on, that worrying about what people were thinking and concentrating on. So as soon as I owned it, I was like, yeah, man, you know what? I'm a big man. Like, yeah, it's cool, man. I'm a big... It just... I owned it. And then so then I could focus all the energy on me. And I've got this saying where I don't do things to prove people wrong. I do things to prove myself right. Yeah. And of course, it means if you prove yourself right, you are obviously proving people wrong. But if I'm here trying to prove you wrong, I'm taking energy that I can focus on myself, on focusing on you. So that's why I put it in that way. Whereas don't do it to prove people wrong. Forget them. Prove yourself right. So take all that energy. And that's exactly what I did. I was like, look, you know what? Boom. I'm a big man. Boom. I'm 16 and a half stone. Boom. I'm the heaviest footballer in the world. Boom. I'm the strongest footballer in the world. And I literally was like, yeah, all of that, that's all of me and more. And then that's the reason where
I... Is that the birth of the beast?
Where did the beast come from?
Okay, so there was a YouTuber named of KSI. So big up KSI.
You know KSI? Do you know KSI?
I've done some stuff with KSI, yeah. Mugged me off a few times.
He did that a couple of times. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to punch him up when I see him, though. I do owe you a punch-up, KSI. I did say that he tried to prank me on some show recently, so I owe you a punch-up.
He did a little highlight thing, cut all the bits where I got him and mugged me off, but fair play to him, because he's killed it. All I wanted was a little shout-out and a few followers, but...
I salute what he's doing, because I believe, like I said, I feel that he concentrated on him. He basically said, look, I am not going to follow no other body's plan but myself. And he has now created an empire for himself. So I salute him on that.
From a business genius point, he's unbelievable. Yeah.
So at this time, I used to play Pro Evo. So I was a Pro Evo man.
Yeah.
And then I weren't really a big FIFA man at this time. So we're going about like 10 years ago now. No, to be fair, longer than that. And then I remember somebody saying, listen, have you seen this video that's going around, you know, you in FIFA? And I was thinking, what? FIFA put me on, like, their video. I was like, what, I made it like that? And I was playing for Northampton at the time. And I was like, no, it's a YouTuber. Like, go check it. And at this time, it had, like, 2 million views. And it was KSI, and he did this segment about beast players. So he was like, he was going around, like, who he thought was beasts in the game or whose stats were the beast. And he was like, and then it was this video, and he was like, this week I'm talking about Akin Fenwa. He's stronger than a house, a tank, the world, the universe. It was a mad video. And I was like, wait, that was the first time I found out I was the strongest footballer in FIFA. So I was like, wait, I'm the strongest footballer in FIFA. Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, I know that. And then from there, it was, so he had the segment as beast players.
Yeah.
So then me and Lenchman was like, raw. So I didn't have no social media at this time. I had no Twitter, had no Instagram. And he's like, nah, you know what? Like, there's an avenue here. Like, what can we do to package something and give it back to the people? And that's where Beast Mode On came from. So right then was the first day where we was like, all right, you know what? We're going to do a brand named Beast Mode On, but we're going to concentrate on being, it can't be just physical. It has got to be more than just a physical attribute, so we can reach out to everybody, because you are more than just...
So Alex can have a go.
Oh, 100%.
What are you saying? Because you got... Listen,
when he said raw, I thought we were in this together.
The strongest thing we all own, you know, more than... Because we're athletes. And
yeah, we're real men, and you're sort of like a posh.
He said that, not me, my brother.
Sorry, we're real men and I'm posh.
Nah, you're not really a man.
I'm
so happy to be in the sidecar of Alpha Males. Just little goggles down and little gloves on. You ride, I'll just... I'll come along for the journey. Every week this happens.
Yeah, I know.
It's a fascinating story. So you mentioned about the stats as well. How proud are you of the FIFA stats? Because I remember seeing something, I think with FIFA, where you were unfurling it and displaying it. And
Yeah. No, listen, like, of course, they people concentrate on my lack of speed stats. You know, they're very slow in the game. But for the last 9 years, I've always had... I'm the strongest in the game. I've got 98. They put me down to 97, which I'm a bit unhappy about.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? But I think it was Rio Ferdinand that said it. Rio Ferdinand, we did a segment. Sorry, I name dropped him. But yeah, Rio Ferdinand, we
good
did
friends,
a segment.
Eh?
Yeah, we're good like that. Oh, you know, you know what I'm saying? I call him Big R. You know what I'm saying? So he was giving me my stats. And he went, listen, B, he would love to have a stat all to himself where nobody else can take it from him. So for the last 9 years, being the strongest player, that's all mine. So embrace it, be proud of it. And I remember thinking, you know what? I am. I'm proud of that stat, that in every footballer in this world, I am the strongest. Nobody can touch me when it comes to my strength stats. So I'm proud of that. You know what I'm saying? As any kid, being in a game, that's what everybody would want. You play games and you see your name, and out of that, when you, like, if you play Street Fighter, you want to get the strongest person. It's just like you play football. I want the strongest footballer. So I'm massively proud of it.
We were talking a lot last week about your trip into Bellator. We'll come on to that again. You are the biggest and the strongest footballer in the world.
Yes.
Who would give you the best match in the Octagon from the round ball
football
game? Yeah. Which footballer? You mentioned Rio and his boxing.
To be fair, there was talk about me and Rio having a little charity boxing match.
Really?
Who'd
have won?
Oh yeah, like I would have Rio would have had the
reach.
Rio would have had the reach, so I would have had to slip and slide, you know what I'm saying? Watch like Tyson and that, you know what I'm saying? Get in,
I like,
and
that.
You know, that's what I've had to get in, and I'd get him on the strength. I'd have to work on my cardio a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, if it went longer than 20 seconds, you'd be in real trouble.
What are you talking about? I'm trying to take him before the seventh round. I think I'm a good seven rounds.
Oh, you think you get the fast seventh round?
I've got a good solid seven rounds in me. You know, if I don't take him before...
I'll give you 35 seconds before your eyes.
What? No! Wait, you talking? It would be good. To be fair, I was up for it. That's when I started doing some boxing sessions and that, and realised how hard boxing training is. I did a sparring.
Because you were saying about Anthony Yard.
I did a sparring with Anthony Yard. Salute to Anthony Yard as well. Unlucky about the fight. I was bare proud of you and that. So bare proud means massively proud.
Yeah, good thing. Yeah,
we'll
yeah,
put
yeah,
some yeah. subtitles yeah, on for, you know, for my ilk.
Yeah.
So
I did some sparring and we was punching the bags and like you could hear the difference. Like I'm not bragging out here. He punched it. It was loud. When I punched it, it was a volcano. I was like, bang, whoa, you mud. But I was like, yeah. Then was like, all right, we're going to do some sparring. And let me tell you something. He was like, big man, go on. I'll give you 30 seconds. You can go all in, like, not facing. Or you can go all in me and, on the pads and that, on him. So I went all in, bang, bang. And ribs he was just tensing up ribs and that. And he was just bang, bang, gone, bang, gone. And I knew it was a problem because I was punching him. He was still talking. Yeah, go on, big man. Yeah. Y'all see, and then after maybe 30 seconds, 18 seconds I got into it, I lifted up and he could have just jabbed me and I fell down. There's footage out there. And it was really when I realised, you know what? It is a real, real hard job to train. So I've got nothing but admiration for these boxers.
I remember watching Will Greenwood. They have Sky used to have a brilliant show called School of Hard Knocks, and him and Scott Quinnell used to look after kids who perhaps are having a tough time of it and would form them into a rugby team, get them back on Watch straight and narrow. Show. Have you seen it? It's absolutely fantastic.
Very wicked show.
They went and trained with David Hay, and Hay put them through like a physical session, and in the end they all got in the ring, and Hay just tapped Greens, who probably isn't at the top of, you know, kings of rugby, but it's a tough nut. Will dropped a knee, like, I mean, the win for about 4 or 5 minutes, the win, God.
Yeah, Will's a bit, though, Will's slender, though. Like, me and Will's done a few bits and bobs together, like, you know what I'm saying? He's slender, he's my guy, Will, you my, but you...
He's sort of similar to him, you know what I mean?
Well, hang on, I mean, let's not get too close.
No, like, right, you know, I mean, thin public school boys, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, he has won a World Cup, sitting here with you. So not exactly the same point. But it's just, I mean, the power of...
Yeah, man.
This is what you're aspiring to.
I told this on my YouTube channel, and he actually admitted it, so I think we can probably go there. Jamie George, I apologise. I'm going to dob you in anyway. It's on my YouTube channel if you want to check it out. So this is my story. So when he was at Sarries, when he started off, like, Jamie George, incredible player.
Yeah.
Lovely bloke. He's just got engaged.
Big man.
Just got engaged recently. Congratulations.
Congratulations, big
Jamie.
Man.
Congratulations.
And he's like, you know, he's quite tough, but he looks... He's got baby face, looks like, you know, he's about as dangerous as a feather.
But he
goes real well. So when Sarri's got him on board, they were like, listen, we need to toughen you up. So a lot of rugby clubs, they send people down to boxing gyms. So they sent Jamie George down to this boxing gym. And he was doing a bit of pads, right? And the guys ran and said, listen, tell what we do, it's a bit of sparring. Jamie George was like, oh, it's a bit intense for session one, isn't it? I don't really know what I'm doing. He said, no, listen, we'll put you in with a pro, and it should absolutely be fine. So Jamie Chaw's a bit nervous, right, puts his gloves on, puts his gears, gets to the ring, and the guy he's fighting is Billy Joe Saunders.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, he knows what he's doing, right? He's obviously, you know, known to be quite aggressive.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they think, is you're in good hands, Billy Joe's going to look after you. Okay, so anyway, just body shots. Right, so Jamie George nervously, bum, 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 throws a body shot, slips up, hits Billy Joe in the face, right? So Billy Joe's like this. Shakes it off. So Jamie George's like that. Sorry. Sorry, Mr. Saunders. Anyway, so he's gone away, he's shook it off, come back, right? Same thing. Bow, 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 bum. Slipped up, punched Billy Joe Saunders in the face again, right? Mr. Saunders, sorry. Right? Billy Joe's gone, right? He's walking up and down, rocking up and down the thing, and fucking Jamie George like that. Fuck's sake. He's like, sorry, it's Joe, sorry, it's Billy Joe, sorry, Saunders, Joe, sorry. Right? And then Billy Joe Saunders has come in and just gone, bow, 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 right? And knocked Jamie George out, right? And then he stormed out of the gym. Jamie George has woken up, right? Woken up, dust. Woken up 5 minutes later to see a bloke mopping his piss up, right? Not only had he been fucking switched off, he'd pissed himself, right? And he said that he literally had to pull his pissy shorts up, grab his kit bag, grab his gloves, just walked out the gym. So he never went back, but he's starting England number two, and he's a British Lion, lovely bloke. So, and he's tough as hell, gives it all, you know.
Thanks to Billy Joe Saunders.
Triple champion with, or quadruple champion, or whatever the fuck Saracens have won. So, you know, but it wasn't my YouTube channel, Jamie, so I do want to apologise. We're now taking it viral, but what a story.
To be fair, it's a big Swede to aim at as well.
Massive Swede, that as well, yeah. Very much so.
Yeah. You're listening to House of Rugby, brought to you by Joe, together with our very good friends at Guinness. It's lovely to have the Beast with us, alongside the Hoff, as per. The latest episode of Liquid Football with Kelly Cates is available to watch or download right now. This week she was joined by Jonathan Walters, Wes Brown and Wayne Bridge, who revealed how he fell out with Mario Balotelli at Man City.
My relationship, we couldn't really call it a relationship, with Mario Balotelli when I was there, I just didn't like him.
very much at all. I thought his attitude stunk, but Mancini let him get away with it every time, and that gave me the ump. People thought it was funny, some players, and thought it was funny, but I just didn't like it. He'd turn up late for training. He wouldn't like rush in and rush. He'd just bowl over on his phone still, like, sorry, I'm late, and then walk in, get changed, stroll out when he wants. And I ended up having an argument with him. Well, not an argument. He basically smashed me. I ended up smashing him back, and then he like elbowed me across the face. And then I was running around the pitch, running after him, basically. So in the end, we had that to stop it. And
could
put
you
us
not
on.
Catch him?
I couldn't catch him. He's quite quick. He had a 5-yard head start. And we got put on the same team. And then it went into the dressing rooms and things were said and it carried on. But I kind of washed my hands of him because of what had happened and the way his attitude was. But I never ever, it never caused a problem for anyone else. After that day, I just never really gave him much attention. You know, if I was going to part, if we were in a game and he was there to be passed, I'd pass him the ball, but I don't think it would ever affect the team.
Mario Balotelli, superstar or not?
Superstar.
Showman.
Yeah, like, I mean, I'm a fan of Balotelli, and like when we played Liverpool,
yeah,
he played for them and I had to mark him on a corner, and he also gave me his shirt. And then, listen, I'm a fan of his, and sometimes I do think that people forget his age. Like, he's still very young and what he's going for. And it's like, you know, sometimes I think we're harder on certain people than other people. I just think that when he came over here, it was a lot.
Wayne Bridge, apparently on the show, is also talking about why he wanted to smash Mario Balotelli on the latest Liquid Football. It's available to download or watch right now, along with Joe's other shows, Swanee's Cricket Show and TKO with Carl Frampton. Actually, to be honest, do you play cricket? Because you could obviously do TKO, you could definitely do Liquid Football.
Yeah, no, cricket's not my thing.
Not a little bit of off-spin?
No, but
or...
I see it the other day.
God, it was good, wasn't it?
No, to be fair, I'm not going to lie, I didn't really see it, but right. I heard about it. Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
It came across on social media.
Yes, yeah. I ain't going to lie. And I even sent out a little tweet.
Someone probably works for you sent out.
No, I actually sent it out. You know what I'm saying? And there's a tweet out there like, listen, I'm not a cricket man, but my man did his thing. You know
Stokes,
what I'm saying?
Stokes,
he did his thing. And I said that. So they're talking about Sir Stokes and that. So Sir Stokes, so he did his thing, but I'm not a cricket man.
I saw Wayne Bridge didn't think it was a very good idea, me going to the Octagon.
Wayne Bridge said that?
I think so. And I mean, not in a bad way. I've actually met him a couple of times, lovely bloke. Probably won't remember meeting me.
I'm sure. But you were hard to forget.
Come on, you are hard to forget.
You are hard to forget.
People have tried through many. My wife tries to forget me through my massive amounts of counselling and electric shock treatment, but she remembers me all the time. But he said something about, he wasn't rude. He just said, you know, rather me than him.
I'd rather you.
Yeah, but that's not about. I ain't gonna lie. No. Same. Rather you than me, man. Why you want people
if you're
to be
saying it? Maybe I have.
I'm not gonna lie. Why you want to get out? I'm curious. But to be fair, let me ask this question. Like, right. I mean, like,
welcome to the Beast Show.
Yeah, true. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So you're going into this MMA, like you touched on it when we first met, and that. So, and I asked, what's the training like? What's the training and the difference like of the what we trained and what is the biggest difference that you find?
It's
train this MMA.
It's horrific, long and intense, and you know, it's just, you know, there's so many skills, and I think the thing is that you can never, you can get to a level, but you can never stop learning.
Yeah.
So that's the beauty of it. You can always improve. So there is no doubt that even I've been doing this for 10 years, I would be walking around going, I think I know what I'm doing. So that's really interesting. I think it's so technical in terms of drilling repetitive, but also remembering that you have to execute what you're doing under pressure, that you're going to get punched in the head while you're doing it.
That's the question of Junkheads. Can you take a punch?
I've taken a few punches in my time. Whether I could take consistent punches, I don't know. But that's part of what I want to know. You know, you talked about being the biggest, the strongest, and kind of being defined by that. You know, I see how people react. The world is full of kind of alpha males, aggressive men. I will, 9 times out of 10, get stopped by big security guards.
Yes.
You know, I will get men.
Yeah, yeah.
Men will come.
Who say
and,
what?
Well, in all, you know, it's always that look at me, stop. You know, I'll always get stopped with the search. You know, male fans will overcompensate, come and slap me on the back, slap me on the head, push me, grab, do things that you would never do to anybody in public.
Yeah,
like, it's ridiculous.
That
it's,
whole head thing, I've already said that. You can't put your hand on my head if you don't know me.
Mate,
it makes it. I lose.
You lose your shit.
You can't put your hand. Like, I don't care how big you are. You can't. And I get exactly the same thing. Like, the security guard thing gets on my nerves. So straight away, you'll see us walk in and be like, oh, if they kick off, I don't know, I'm going to have to earn my money today. And I'm like, look, I've come out for a quiet, so I don't know what you're on. And it's that, and fans, oh, the beast.
Yeah.
And, you know, they'll be like, listen, big man, like, you don't know. And as soon as you do this, I'm going to do this to you now. Just here, don't punch me, because I have to punch you back. Like, it's this, it's that movement.
Mate, I hate that.
For me, I kid you not, that is the quickest way for me to lose. When you put your... Well, that's like...
Yeah, isn't it? For me, I don't mind some comments that are like, big man. Like,
that's cool.
But, but it's when people slap me on the back, slap me on the back of the head, pull me, grab me, poke me. Some old fuck, I was trying to tell him the other day, didn't ask me for a photo. Just poked me, poked me round. I was talking to my wife, poked me round and went, can you have a photo? I was like, okay. When was the last time I walked up and poked anyone in the street without permission? So I get this weird situation. So what I want to do is that I'm not particularly tough. Yeah. I don't think I'm amazing.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know. You know, I mean, people talk about having good jaws and bad jaws. Listen, you know, I've been hitting the jaw quite a few times.
Who gave you the greatest clock on the field? Probably in training, wouldn't it be?
Yeah, it would have been training stuff, yeah.
Lol.
No, actually, I'll tell you what, we had... No.
Have you got into a scrap? I have.
But loads of times. But I've worn a couple of punches. But again, listen, if you get someone in the right place,
yeah, it doesn't really matter.
Has anyone ever knocked you out in training?
No. The only time I've ever been knocked out is when I ran into...
Postpad.
No. Freddie Burns' hit.
Oh, shit, right? I remember that.
So there's a player where it was my first comeback game. It was like return of the house, like fireworks, bam, standing out, like around on the field. 28 seconds later, I was like this.
I'm going to do research on you, fetal
position, right? Like that, but snoring. And what it is, there's a player who's tiny, bro. He's a 10, like tiny. He got a ball and he turned his hip, and I'd seen him. And I was like, oh my God, this is my big comeback. Oh. Bang, I'm going to end you. In the last minute, he turned a little bit more, and where I thought his hip hit me on the side of the head. And just switched me off.
Oh.
And I was out. And I was 28 seconds later. And you can imagine the amount of fans who messaged me that go, way, mate, you only lasted 28 seconds. So I started messaging back going, your wife wishes you lasted 28 seconds. Blah, 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 blah. I stopped doing that afterwards, you know.
Did you ever have players on the football field coming after you because of your status and your stature?
Coming after me is the wrong terminology. I'd have people that knows that, oh, you know what, if I can show the bar gym or if I could rough him up, you know, straight away be like, oh, I thought you meant to be strong. You know, that talk, and I get that constantly. Whereas for me, it's rare that now I come across anybody older than me. So everybody's saying that's younger than me. So I'm like, oh, look, you pups are just talking. Like keep doing what you're doing. Like, yeah. Ultimately, this is not me bragging. It'll be very hard for me to come across somebody who's stronger than me. So there is strong players, but to be stronger than me, I haven't come across that. So I think I'll do a 50-50 with anybody, and I think I'll come out on top. But of course, I've got the youngsters that want to wrestle me. And if anything, that's what I like, because if somebody's close and I want to be able to feel them so I can roll them, because I'm not going to be able to run away from them. So it's generally the more intelligent centre-halves that I have problems with that don't let me grab them, don't let them feel them, because once I've got you, that's my territory. But I get that. I get it with refs. Like, referees will come and, you know, I did Sky the other day and the ref was like, oh, you pronounced that wrong. Maybe you should go back to ha, ha, ha. I said, what? I was like, cool. And then I laughed with him at first. And then the first minute, he gave a free kick against me and I was effing and blinding at him for the whole game. I'm just effing and but I get it's like, for me, where... And I'm not trying to say they can make a name for themselves, but of course, I am more known on the pitch. So I believe my size and status I will get penalised more from refs, and they'll be like, oh, well, come on, man, you're the beast. Like, you know, that straight, like, oh, you're the beast, you should be able to handle that. Like, it's a free kick, man. What are you talking about, the beast? I don't care who I am, give me a free kick. So I get that, but again, I'd say it's a part of parcel of football. I'm at an age now where, listen, there's not nothing that I haven't
seen done,
and, you know.
Do you not find, though, because we said about that you were talking about the fighting thing, is that if you stay in your lane, so you go, right, I'm working with heavyweights at my level and we're doing what we're doing, right, you're fine. But when you step outside your thing, when you've got a mate, you're supposed to be the big guy, you're supposed to be the tough guy, and then you suddenly meet a smaller guy, like we were talking off air, and he absolutely destroys you with technique. You know, in your mind, like, well, I should be winning this, I should be tough. Or it's like when we had fitness testing days and you'd meet a back who would be smaller than you, who could power clean more than you, who could technically lift more per his size.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird because you know, it's when I announced it, you know, I told you I was getting nutters offering me out all the time and stuff.
What's the reaction been this week?
Really positive, I think. And do you know what the weirdest thing for me was? That I'm doing an individual sport. That is the shocking thing. When I had a press conference, it was for me. There was nobody else. I wasn't like, that wasn't me and like Bayo sitting there talking about our team stuff, or they weren't media. The whole thing was for me. And I always looked at individual sports people, and I'm not comparing myself obviously in any way to, but Federer or these guys that do this stuff individually. Yeah. You look at them and think, wow, wouldn't it be great if it was just you and how much you've achieved? But also watching people in the fight game, like, you know, Michael Venom Page and stuff, you know, where the level he's got to. He's got to pay for his own coaches. You've got to pay for your own physios. You've got to do things. Yes, you have a team, but it's kind of funded by you. And, you know, when it's a good day, it's a good day. When it's a bad day, it's a bad day. And when you're out there on your own, I haven't got, you know, an Owen Farrell shouting at me. I haven't got a Dylan Hartley, but, you know, I haven't got these guys. So it's really, that psychology, really exposed. Yeah. And I sat on this stool and I was thinking to myself, oh, this is serious now. And so it's been mega, and we've had loads, you know, loads of great press and loads of interest. And I get messaged by people all the time saying, we love what you're going to do. We, you know, we love how serious you're taking it. But it is daunting going to that individual sportsman thing. And I think people keep offering me out. It's like, if I went and did something now, most people could probably knock me out. But I'm pretty much aware of that. But you've got to be quite confident that, you know, that's the hardest thing I always think is being the big man. You expect it to be the strongest, most powerful, this. But do a fitness testing day with 25 rugby players, 30 rugby players. There's always going to be someone who's going to beat you. And you could, inside, you're like, I thought I was the strongest. I thought I could do this. And someone always gets you. So I have to stay very much in my lane and never deviate, because it's a dangerous game, especially in the fight game, going outside and suddenly you've got somebody smaller, more agile, faster hands, faster this. It kind of has to be controlled, and you can't ever get lulled in your mind of thinking, oh, I'm ready, I'm going to do this, because you just never stop learning. So it's very interesting.
Your first fight is going to come around fast.
I know it will do, yeah.
I can't wait for it. I'm going to be front and centre cheering you on.
There's still some sponsorship opportunities.
I'll say no more, bro. Beast Pants. Alex, man, we'll get on the show.
You got your sponsorship. Would you ever consider anything? I mean, am I right in saying 37?
37, yes.
Wow. 37, how many more seasons?
Do you know what? I'm going to take it season by season now.
Still feel good.
Yeah, I still feel good. To be fair, I'm a bit still recovering from Saturday. Played 90 minutes, so I'm still recovering now. But it was my first pre-season in a long while where I had no niggles. No, it was a good pre-season. And I've come back and I feel good. So I'll take it year by year. As long as I feel good, as long as my mind keeps wanting to go out there and I don't feel like anybody's carrying me, listen, I'll play this game.
But you need a few of them to carry you.
You don't. I set myself up for that.
Carry you, mate. All your lads' legs are going, then you'd have half a team gone.
Right, yeah. So for me, I'll take it year by year. I'm enjoying myself. I'm at a club at the moment where I've got a great manager, great team spirit, great coach, great fans. So as long as that continues, look, I'll play.
Is it five kids, four kids?
Five kids.
Yeah, five kids. Yeah,
just ask how many kids you've got. 13 years to go.
Yeah.
We shared quite well. You went on a very emotional journey over the last sort of season one of this show. And it was fascinating riding alongside as you worked out that it doesn't last forever. Are you worried about life post football, or are you excited about
it? I'm excited. I'm not worried. It's funny because I think 3 years ago, I was worried, weren't a word, but you always feel like, you know what, I've got to provide for my kids. I mean, I think my greatest fear in life is just being able to provide for my kids, you know, and there's a lot of them. So, you know what I'm saying? So, but it's not worried. I'm excited because I'm a bit like James in the sense where I don't think there's no shame in your game staying in, I use footballing lane. That's my little quote that I just, there's no, so for me, my lane is my lane and I can only be myself. So anything I tackle, I'm not afraid of it because I'm going to be myself. And I've got to an age where I am not scared to fail. And I think that's bigger than wanting to win. I think you're restricted because you're like, I don't want to go do that. You know, even you'd be like, I don't want to do that because what if I get knocked out? And you're not scared. Listen, I think the greatest, what's the word I'm looking for? Not safe. Can't think of it
now. Experience, greatest opportunity?
No, that's not the word I'm looking for. I just think that to not try something is worse than to try it and fail. That's right. Basically, that's how, yes, nice, actually, I've got there in the end. And I think that's what it is. So I'm not scared to fail, so I'm excited for what's next. I don't put myself in a box, you know what I'm saying? I don't put no lid on it. I literally think anything comes my way, I'll try it. If I do well, I do well. If
Strictly,
I don't, I don't.
I'm a celebrity.
Strictly, I'll shut all of them down. Put me on Strictly, but I'll have to kind of remix the outfits and that, you know. Strong. Like really on the...
A lot of deep Vs, a lot of scoops.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. A little baggy, a little something, something and that. But I'll shut down Strictly.
Help Len Goodman.
What I was going to say to you was... But we actually had a little chat when you know, because obviously all the stuff you've done off the field, that, you know, obviously when you identified the beast mode on, but you've always been quite entrepreneurial, haven't you, in terms of what you do. And I think you've built lots of things. I mean, I don't know if you can talk about it, but there's an experience you had recently when you were telling me about it and you were like, how the hell did I get here? Like, you know, I mean, didn't cut this bit out, but what about the movie thing
you were talking about?
How you take all these opportunities and it led you to this bizarre place.
There's a few. So I'm going to go back to a story which I think shapes you. Like, when I started football, and this is why people keep saying, oh, why have you got this lust for life? You always seem like you smile and stuff like that. And I was like, when I was 18, I went to Lithuania. To play football. I wasn't getting nothing here.
How did that come about?
I was, to be fair, my agent was married to a Lithuanian woman. That's right. Actually the
way. Wow. Great transfer stories in British football.
That's like literally I came in, and the president of the club, I was at a trial at Watford, came down, not to watch me, but came down with the wife of my agent. All right, long story short, he saw me play. He was like, listen, I like you. We play Europe. Would you want to come out? So I was like, I don't even know where Lithuania was at the time. I was 18. It's almost 20-odd years ago now, 19 years ago. So anyway, cut a long story short, nothing was happening. Nothing was materialising here. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go there. I'm going to go for the trial. And if I get the contract, when I come back here, I'm going to tell clubs here, look, a team in Europe. Like, this wasn't big at all back then. A team in Europe want to sign me. You sign me. That's what I was thinking. So I went out there. They was like, listen, we want to sign you. Offer you a three-year contract. Listen, we play UEFA Club football, this, that and the other. So I was like, listen, I'm not going to sign, but I'll go back here. Their season's from April to December. So their season's different. So anyway, came back here, nothing happened again. So in March, they was like, look, come out March because you need for 4 weeks pre-season and sign. So anyway, I went out there, signed. I'm going to cut. Anybody that knows my story knows I went out there. I went out there first in September. It was beautiful. Clipperdor, like, sun was out, city. I was like, oh, you know what? I could do this. Went there in March, flew over. It was snow everywhere. I was like, what the hell have I got into? First preseason game, it was on AstroTurf because of the weather. We came into the, drove in, and there was snow all on the pitch. And I'm like, oh, this game's called off. Oh, they better turn round. We pulled up, everybody was getting off. I'm looking at, where are you not going? The game is on. I literally refused to get off the coach. I watched the game from the coach because I was like, I ain't playing out there. So anyway, I should have known that was the start of things to come. So got out there, first preseason game, it was, had the racial abuse. So the first preseason game, now I'm going to tell you, first preseason game, it was a reserve team game. So it was like we played over... best way to describe it, like Hackney Marshes. So it wasn't in the stadium. So all the fans are beside the pitch. So we kicked off the game. I've run over. So as you do on the centre, I start on the wide bit of the pitch. The ball comes over. I chest it down and I hear, and in my head I'm thinking, nah, man. Like, nah, I didn't hear that. So anyway, ball goes back across. Come back in. I go up for a header. I'm thinking, wait, nah, man, this is actually monkey chants. With 15 minutes into the game, this is what happened. Zigga, 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 shoot the fucking N-word. That was chanted. And I was like, so I'm 18. Now, look, so I'm going to paint this picture. I'm 18. I've come from a metropolitan city like London. I've gone there. And the craziest thing, racism did not even cross my mind that I was going to go out there and experienced that. I kid you not, didn't even once think. I knew I was going to be away from home. I knew I didn't know the language. I knew I may not like the food, but racism didn't even come into play. And of course, as I learned, I was the first black person in the league. I was one of seven black people in the city of Clipperdor. So anyway, I was like, oh. Half time came, I'm like, you know what, I'm coming off. And I went to our team captain who spoke a little bit of English because he played football in Denmark. I was like, what does zigga zigga mean? He was like, zigga zigga means nothing. They're just rhyming it with the word. I was like, oh, wow. So I remember getting on the phone to my brother and I was like, bro, I'm coming home. I'm telling you, I'm coming home. He's like, why? I goes, listen, they're being racist. And I can remember, this was 19 years ago, and I can remember it like it was yesterday. He went, listen, bro, it's my older brother. He was like, listen, bro, I ain't going to tell you to stay anywhere that you don't feel comfortable, but if you come home, they win. And he stopped there. And I'm not going to lie to everybody, I've said this many times, there wasn't no music playing, and I was thinking, oh, that was profound. I was like, brother, I'm coming home. I dropped the phone, I was like, I'm coming home. But I kid you not, when I woke up in that morning, divine intervention, I remember thinking, nobody is running me out of anywhere. And like a story, I scored goals. We got to equivalent to the FA Cup final. We won 1-0. I scored the only goal. I opened up an Adidas store. I didn't pay for stuff. I was still getting racial abuse for, oh, I didn't say, oh, I forgot. Say it was about 1,000 people that were singing, Zigga, 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 shoot the fucking N-word. 400 of my own fans singing that. And oh, it was so... So I forgot to tell that bit. So throughout the season, scored goals. We won the equivalent, the Lithuanian Cup. So my fans then started to adore me. I still got racial abuse away from away fans. And it did make me realise that ignorance was powerful, because when we won the game, those people that were, they were elation, they was happy, they was jumping up and down. So it's funny, at 18, I experienced that. So now, whenever I experience anything, it doesn't touch what I came through. So like I was saying, it when I'll be at away fans at Fratton Park, Plymouth, and they'll be saying, Akinfenwa, your tits are offside, or you're just a fat Eddie Murphy, you know, none of that can touch what I've gone through. So everything else is candy, it's sugar coated because of what I've gone through. So it's funny, because that then, knowing that I could overcome that, literally I swear to you, I knew there was nothing else I couldn't overcome. And that's the funny thing, I just wanted to tell that story because that's the way I am now. So it shaped me to the man I am, to be like, right, you went to a cauldron where you was the only black person. You went to a cauldron where, you know, they were singing racial abuse, and you came out the other side. And that's all. There ain't nothing that I can't, there's nothing that I can't tackle now.
That is an amazing story of resilience. Full credit to you. With that in mind, so it's obviously a very hot topic at the moment, isn't it? Is it?
Yeah.
It's Paul Pogba and...
Pogba,
Jesse
Rashford.
Jesse Rashford has come out.
Zuma.
I mean, what do you make of... Obviously, you've been in the game a long time. What do you make of where we are today?
I always feel that I think it's a society problem. And I've heard people say, you know what, we've got to do stuff for football. We do. We do. I do believe it's like anything. It gets better, but it's always there. And I think like anything, there's trends. So now it's become a trend again. So whenever a player of ethnic descent does something, it is a trend to jump on the bandwagon. And that's what it is. So I do not believe we will ever stop racial abuse. I don't ever think. And I do think it's society. I think it's a society problem. But of course, because football is such a vehicle which captures the world, it gets magnified because I'll walk on the street and somebody can say racial, but it'll be on a football pitch. And of course, that's what football does. It highlights situations. I do believe that with social media, it allows keyboard warriors to say whatever they want to say with no face, and know that it will get press, it will get retweets. I just think that it's a problem which we do need to tackle, and we do need to put harsher sanctions into it. But I am not here to know. I don't think it's an easy solution. I couldn't sit here and say, you know what, this is right, that is right. I do think that we got to do more than just wear T-shirts. Mm. I do think we got to do more than just when an incident happens, we talk about it, because it's an ongoing situation. So we've got to continue to be on the forefront of it. And that's my take on it.
Bloody hell. It's not directly linked, but am I right that you do quite on mental health as well? And I just wanted to sort of ask how that's come about, what that means to you, that element of what you're doing.
For me, it is personal. My sister went through mental health growing up. One of my best friends, Clark Carlisle, tried to take his life.
Yeah.
And it's for me. So, I mean, I'm starting this beast mode state of mind, which for me is, I do think, you know, we joke about arms, joke about legs, joke about chest, but the most powerful thing I think we all own is our minds. I think it is, and it's funny because I had a conversation with Clark Carlisle and he was talking like this, and I kid you not, he was right as rain. We was conversating. So I was like, how does the person I'm talking to you now, only 2 days ago, wanted to stand in front of a bus to kill, how? And he's like, B, it's an illness. I mean, it's literally an illness. And he's like, B, you are a person that your mind works for you. So you can what you put your mind to, it works for you. Now, imagine it working against you. So imagine your mind, how strong your mind is for you, so you do not allow things to get under your skin. You do not allow things to say you can't do that. Imagine your mind then saying, you can't do this, you can't. How powerful that is when it works against you. And I kid you not, it was a moment of clarity for me. I was like, wow, that is, because my mind is the strongest thing. I always go to my mind. So that's why, for me, it touches me on such a level where that's where I'm starting this beast mode state of mind, which does tackle the things where I think we're in a day of age where, you know, you've got to be you've got to look a certain way, talk a certain way, be a certain way. So I my whole thing was, they told me I was too big to play football, and that was to conform to what I feel their mindset was. So my thing is, listen, embrace who you are. You know, love who you are. And as long as you're cool, because you're the only one common denominator in your life, everybody else is just passing through it. So don't give nobody who has got temporary status in your life permanent control. And that's what, for me, the saying where the children are our future, and they are, you know, and that's where my charity and the whole mental side of it, I think it's massive. And it's good, because I do think we're talking about it way more now. I think that before it was a taboo situation, especially men, you know, it was like, nah, I can't really talk about it, they'll think I'm soft and that, whereas it's not, you ain't soft. And the first step to anything is talking. So I am passionate about it.
Full respect. Where can people find out about it? Is it
so? To be fair, we're on it, but anything on the it's all coming. But it'll all be, check out on the Beast Mode site. We've got the Beast Mode clothing, and it'll have links to everywhere. On my Instagram, we'll have links to everything that we're starting up there. So hopefully, it will be early 2020. We'll have the programs up. We'll have the charity up and going. So hopefully, we're getting on there. We've had a little tinkling stuff, but it will be up and running soon, where we can try and give back.
Good on you. Needed, much needed. Actually, topical at the moment in our sport as well.
It was actually interesting. A friend of mine, one of my best mates, Travis, who was very upset I didn't put him in the touring team last week. And I said, but no one knows who you are. He goes, well, come on, mate. He goes, most Kiwis who come into this country couldn't get into other teams. Suddenly start for England. So
very good.
I apologise. I should have put you in trap. But no, he's kind of a lot into this a lot. And actually, he was telling me a story about dad who had, he's got a boy and a girl. And he said that it's funny how society, we talk about the racism and how we perpetuate things, but he said, you know, when his girl's upset, right, his daughter, little daughter, he wants to sit on her knee, he can console her, she's crying, it doesn't matter, but when the son, similar age, cries, it's like, you know, go man, don't come and talk to your crying, come on, we don't want that. And it's like, hold on a minute, why do we treat boys and girls differently in that kind of thing? Why is it wrong for men to cry and be in touch with themselves? And why is it okay for women to be like that? And I think it's very interesting that. And I've talked many times on the show about the mental state of professional sport. You know, we buy the best clothing, we pay all these money for the nutritionists, we do everything. But the biggest weapon and most powerful thing we've got, we neglect. You know, we don't deal with it. Some teams put psychologists on, but for me, it is a... you know, it's window dressing. Yeah. You know, there is no miracle reason why I played my best rugby for Eddie Jones and in part for Wasps, because I was treated in a certain way, I was talked in a certain way, and I was built up. Now, you can't pump someone's tyres up the whole time, but what works for someone else doesn't work for someone else. And there are so many players, I guarantee, interesting what Keenan Miles, a player who came out, and I was shocked by that. I played with him the whole time. I messaged him and I was mortified and said, to think, because of someone like my characters, like bravado, quite attacky and everything else, I do have a really compassionate side, and I... You know, I was mortified that he had been going through this stuff and didn't feel that he could have sat down and spoken to someone about it, and that he thought about taking his life, he thought about this kind of stuff. So I think we do have a massive responsibility, and I think we do have to break stereotypes, just like as we're trying to break stereotypes down with homophobia, words that become common part of us, like, oh, that's gay, this is gay. Got to cut that stuff out. Mm. Same thing with mental health. Men, you know, men struggle, and you know, we need to be able to open up and speak about it. And I think it's really interesting, and you know, and Bayo told me that, you know, but when we met the other day and we were talking about the stuff and how, you know, Carla wanted to take his own life. And I think it's really interesting because people just don't necessarily get a handle on it.
Klotz, he's in a much better place now. But it's funny because it's the same. I'm a father of five. I've got three boys. And I did that to my boy. just the other day. It was like my little girl, I'll squeeze and I'll hug and like, blah, you good? And my boy would be like, what are you doing? Like, it's funny because sometimes you find yourself just be like, no, what are you crying for? Stop crying. It's something that we do need to break down. Yeah. And it's the same where, like, I had a real good friend of mine and he's the same. He's very much, you know, he was, you know, talkative, very strong, you know what I'm saying? And I only found out recently, you know, that he was going through depression, he was going through anxiety, that his identity was put to something. And, like, I played with him for, like, 2 years and, you know, he only come out recently talking about it. And for me, I was thinking, I'm playing with you all the time and I don't know what's going through your head. And that's the thing where I do believe, especially, like, the culture we've got at Wickham, it's, you know, every day we, you know, you're good. Everything all right? And it, just to ask that question, it just, for me, it's the first step, you know, the first step of just talking, because, you know, as guys, you're like, you know, I'd put it on my shoulders. Nah, they'll be thinking I'm soft or they'll be thinking I'm weak. And it's not, you are, if you embrace and know who you are, that's the strongest you can be, you know. I keep saying take away your arms, man, take away your legs, all that. That I'm not saying taking away, I'm like, but what I'm saying is the mind. So you're, if you can embrace who you are and we can talk, you are the definition of a real man. Do you know what I'm saying? In the sense of being able to talk and say, listen, things ain't going right.
But don't you think as well with the racism stuff I see, especially, I mean, you know, some of these foreign countries, you know, it's so inherent and indoctrinated, it's bizarre. See, the thing for me is, I completely agree with you. You're never going to beat racism.
Yeah.
As long as there's people of different ethnicities, you're always going to get that kind of thing through fear, through ignorance, through stereotypes, whatever it might be. But I think the one surprising thing that everyone can do without is actually just stop and turn around and say, like, for example, if I was in a stadium and someone was saying something, you know, racist.
Self-police.
It's not for authorities. It's for me to turn around and go, mate, you can't say that. And I've seen that in rugby a little bit with some of that homophobic language, where someone will say something and someone else will turn and go, mate, you can't say that now.
Yeah.
Like, you know, whether you think it, you're not going to eradicate it. And sometimes it comes out because it's being used all the time. But it's the same thing with racism. If I watch five lads a football match abusing someone like that, I'd be like, it was so left field thinking of all the things to get in. I quite like the fat Eddie Murphy line.
You like that? Yeah.
I did. But you know, I could see like certain things that, you know, like a physical chat. But telling someone for their colour or where they've come from, and that, it's just not. It's not right. I think you've got to turn around and say, the best expression I think is the standards you walk by, the standards you accept. So if I saw someone doing that, I'm condoning that. Yes. Whether I've never called anyone racist,
evil prospers when good men do nothing.
Yeah, that's 100%.
Damn, see them state, both of them. I didn't know you had that.
Getting on a t-shirt.
I didn't know you had that.
I'm real deep. I'm as deep
as a box of surprises. What an amazing journey. I feel we've only just scratched the surface. When you get your programme up and running, will you keep us posted
100%,
on it? 100%. If you can help, or if we can help, we'd love to, obviously, to do that. Have we got 2 minutes to pick a strongest 15?
We did say that. You're right. D's knocked everyone out in the sound.
Yeah, it's got a bit quiet.
Screaming through in a moment.
It's good cop and slightly more aggressive. Yeah. Good cop.
We'll do it quickly. So, time for this week's Perfect Pour, our weekly test in 119 and a half seconds, because that's how long it takes to pour the perfect pint of Guinness. Given our guest this week, there is only one place to go, and that is a...
Strongest 15.
Do you want to lead us off?
Yeah, so obviously we've got 15 players, and we're going to take from any of the sporting world. You know, my number one, so my prop, is Andrew Sheridan, player, right? Absolute mutant. He would be
professional weightlifter.
Benching 230, 240.
Oh, yeah.
Squatting over 300 and something. And a weird squatting technique where he sort of bent over like that, I'm sure.
How tall is he?
6'4",
yeah, he was a mutant. Yeah. I think it'd be quite good to have a head-to-head. But weirdly enough, he released a folk album on iTunes of him singing. Didn't really match up.
Actually very good.
Is it?
Yeah, and he's now a wine professor.
He's a wine connoisseur.
Yeah, connoisseur.
So that's Andrew Sheridan, number one.
Doctor of wine. Two?
You got anyone? Hooker, number two?
Do you want to pick a heavyweight football 11?
Fine, let's do that, yeah.
Jan Mulby, Razor Ruddock.
Oh, I put, like, so people on record, I put, like, VVD has to be in there.
Yeah.
Virgil be in there.
He'd be in your second row, I reckon.
Yeah, I don't know what second row is, but I agree.
They're big and very strong.
Yeah. Virgil be in there. Because I'm an old school guy. Guy Branston.
Oh, Leeds?
Yes.
Oh, Bradford. I'll have a point for that. Yes. I'll have a point for that. Oh, thank you.
Head like a water lemon. Head massive.
What's a water lemon?
Watermelon. That's what I meant.
No, I gave you that. I wonder what
hair. Watermelon.
What's a water?
Like a watermelon. Cut that out. Yeah, hey, no, let's no, no, make no. them cut no, it out.
We'll cut out whatever you like. Not
what? Yeah. What,
how
what,
tall
what?
Was Guy Branston?
He wasn't even tall. He was like my height. But his
okay,
head.
We'll have him at 7.
Yeah. So his head was what, massive.
Vinnie Jones.
Yes, Vinnie.
Second row.
Yeah, Vinnie.
I'm having, we're having a front row of Jan Molby.
Yeah.
These are the fat boys. Jan Molby, Razor.
Yeah, you said that because Razor's my hitter, so...
Oh, am I allowed to say that or not?
Yeah, 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 it's cool, man.
He would, he's this cool. strong man, and it, Neville Southall at hooker.
Yeah, big boys.
Do you ever remember, do you ever meet Terry Evans, who used to be physio at Wickham? He was about 6'5", ball bloke, then he was physio at Wasps.
Nah.
You know what I mean? Should ask other people about time. Terry Evans, he was...
But you've got to have Mick McCarthy, Mick Halford.
Mick Halford, big at blind side, we'll put
yes,
Halford on the blind side.
Him.
We need another really, really hard man at 8.
Really hard man.
You could have Rio, athletic.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like,
rangy.
Yeah, but Rio weren't really the hard. Rio
what about
was intelligent.
Stam.
Good shout. We'll have
good
Stam at
shout.
8.
I don't even know.
Stam.
Very good. We need yes. a 9.
Small. Where does 9 small, play? Small
Messi.
And aggressive.
Messi.
Yeah.
Not,
Messi,
yeah,
mate. He's not aggressive.
Messi's not aggressive, man.
Okay. No.
You've got like Dennis Wise or something.
Yeah. Very good shout. Come I like that.
Yeah. Wisey.
Showman at 10.
Someone controlling it, you know, like your midfield man, like key
smooth,
player.
Smooth, easygoing.
Well, put him at fucking 10.
Yeah, put me at 10, man. Okay. Let me run it, yeah? Yeah.
Beast
put
running the show.
He's running the show.
Beast, when he plays, he just sits in the middle. He's like, he just shoots his words like this. In the
over
mixer.
There.
Yeah. Square. Yeah.
Like.
Onto me.
But my hand coordination
go
is...
Go long. And he goes, how many metres you run? 3. What?
Strong, quick, with good distribution skills in your centres.
Seedorf.
Clarence Seedorf, that's a hell of a shout. Nice goggles as well.
Yeah. No, that's David you're thinking about.
I'm thinking of David. You're
it's all right,
right.
Cool. I didn't get it wrong.
So they're both Dutch.
Yes, that is. Yes. Yes.
I need one more.
We have got to put Roy Keane in there.
So he might Keane. Knock out Guy Branston.
Roy
you've
Keane.
Got to put out Keane. No. I'll leave the.
Do you want to get rid of Halford?
Yeah. Get Keane Halford.
At, Keane at 7.
Yeah,
Branston
yeah, yeah. I've got to keep
6.
Granny there, like the lower league players and that.
Rapid wingers. Giggs?
He wasn't that vicious though, was he?
Yeah, I need somebody like that's a bit more aggressive. Like if you're going through like quick that was direct and aggressive, like Darren
Huckabee.
Or Konchelskis, you know Huckabee
you,
was them, man.
Would you not put Rooney at centre? Because you remember that time in his 16 debut where he came in and
Rooney at 13.
He tripped him over and he just rolled back to his feet, fucked him off and scored the goal.
So we'll have Rooney at 13.
Yeah, Rooney's a little Seedorf
he's a class at 12. Yeah. Rooney angry at 13.
Yeah.
Another speedy winger.
He's got a bit of something about him.
I'm quite pleased with this team, actually.
What still Stephen Gerrard? Did he have any wheels, Stephen Gerrard? Was he tough or was he a bit...
No, he's tough, man.
Gerrard.
As a winger, though.
Wow.
Yeah. No, you could take somebody out. I've got to put Stevie G in. Take somebody out for
Seedorf?
Stevie G.
You want Stevie
yeah,
G 12?
Yeah, take Seedorf.
Okay. It's a nice midfield, this. Beast, Gerrard and Rooney.
I suggested so many football players, I didn't even know.
You need somebody quick. Quick and powerful.
I can say Darren Anderton, but that isn't good.
Nah. Sorry, Anderton, but nah.
What about a big fat bloke from? He's played. Oh, he wasn't very quick. Yeah, the guy from Southampton.
Letizier. He said, "I'm gonna say," but Letizier was a bad boy player. Like he stayed in his lane, but he's not quick.
Fine, okay.
You can't put him there. I need somebody quick. No, what am I talking about? My man, the one at Wolves, Traore.
Jimmy.
No.
No!
The other one, he's got in it. Just put Traore. Trust me. They know. Everybody in the back know.
Everyone knows.
He's a real deal. Hollywood.
They're
trying to say he was stronger than me. He's faster. He ain't stronger than me. No. You ain't know him. Google him.
Google. No, don't Google him now. We've got to go on
with
the show.
He's fine. He's a class operator at 15. Really good range on the passing skills.
He'll be like...
Silky. Really silky. Unflappable.
Yeah.
Very composed.
Good under pressure.
Heater,
good under a long
ball. What
does
he do? Score goals? What does he do?
He hits beautiful lines. He arrives
he's
at the right
good
place
at, defense.
At the right time.
He's got to be good at defence, but also attack.
You should put Stevie G in that then.
Okay, we'll have Seedorf back
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, put Seedorf put Seedorf in Gerrard's day. Rhymes at defence and put him there. You hear me?
Gerrard. Yes, I do. Loud and clear.
Yeah. You hear me? He's like, yeah, no, actually, yes, I am.
Yes, I do.
You hear me, though, Rob? No, well, I'm not your brother, but I actually do hear you.
Yeah. Jan Molby, Neville Southall, Razor Ruddock, Virgil van Dijk, Vinnie Jones in the second row, Roy Keane, Jaap Stam, and Guy Branston in the back row, Wise, Beast, Seedorf, Rooney in the midfield, Huckabee. I mean, I think Huckabee's done well to make our all-star big 15 with Traore, not Jimmy, on the right wing and Stevie Gerrard at
15. That's powerful. But also we're shutting down a lot of people.
Ronaldo. We haven't got Ronaldo in there.
He's soft as fuck.
Nah, he's a bit solid. If you're going to take out anybody, you can take out Huckabee for Ronaldo.
He's a try-scoring machine. We'll put Ronaldo in there.
We'll put Ronaldo there just to put a little...
And he's quick.
Yeah.
Right,
you've
got to go.
You've got to go. It's been an absolute pleasure.
No, it's
thank
been
you so
more than a
much
pleasure.
For coming on this shambles of a
will
show.
You come again?
Bring some class and decorum.
You say when and I'm here, man.
They've
we're like friends
they've
now.
Literally they've started the car. It's revving. They're about to reverse it into studio.
Your big D. Lenchman D's taking out people.
That is about it for this week on House of Rugby, brought to you by Joe, together with our very good friends at Guinness. A reminder, you can watch or download Liquid Football with Kelly. Do you want to go on that at some point?
Yeah, Liquid
Kelly's
Football.
Kelly's a superstar.
Yeah.
From all the same place you get your House of Rugby. On yesterday's episode, Wes Brown revealed he lost a pair of Eric Cantona's boots when he was a youth team player. Where does Cantona fit in the all-time greats?
To me, oh, he's up there.
Top five? Top three?
Top eight.
Top eight. Like we've done there. Not the strongest, not the biggest. TKO coming on Wednesday as well. Carl Frampton and Chris Lloyd, who are going to be joined by the two-weight world champion, Andre Ward. That is it for us for this week. Thank you for listening. Have a good week in the meantime. Always a pleasure, Beast. See you again soon.
Thank you.
Look forward to your company soon as well. Bye for now.
You've been listening to the House of Rugby on Joe. Together with Guinness. Drink responsibly. Visit drinkaware.co.uk for the facts.